Just as a reminder that there's no shiur next week, but then Emirat Hashem, the week afterwards, we will continue, and we'll actually be up to a very significant day. We'll Emirat Hashem by then be up to day 6 with ultimately the creation of Adam. But before that, we're up to day 5, which is the creation of fish and fowl, hence the title of the shiur. To the 2 generations of Spieglers who are here. Send Mazel Tov to the subsequent 2 generations of Spieglers that are in Eretz Yisrael. Well, 4 altogether, but 2 are here and 2 are there. So, Emirat Hashem, I want to cover today the day 5 and that which is created there, and some of the discussions and insights of the Mefarshim of the creation story on day 5. So day 5 takes up just a few psukim, begins where we left off, which is Perak Aleph, Pasuk Chav, and it goes through Pasuk Chav Gimel, 4 psukim. So if everyone has Pasuk Chav, we'll read through these few psukim first together, and then we will take a step back and take a number of points more in depth as they come. Vayomer Elokim, God says, Yishritzu hamayim, sheretz nefesh chaya. Let the waters be full or teeming with all sorts of swarming. For now, that's how we'll translate it. These are obviously very difficult words, and these are the first time they're being used in the Chumash. So there's no necessarily obvious definition for these, and we'll see that their definitions are actually somewhat debated by Mefarshim, but for now, let's go with a more standard English translation. Let the waters be teeming with these swarming beings. Nefesh Chaya, they have a living soul. We'll have to see what that means. What's a Nefesh? What's a Nefesh Chaya? Furthermore, V'of, Yo'ofeif al Haaretz, and birds or fowl that fly over the earth, Al Pnei Rakia Hashamayim, even across the heavens. V'yivra Elokim Esatanim Hagadolim. We go back, we were in the water. We were in the sky, now we're back in the water. God creates these great sea creatures, the taninim. We're not exactly sure what they are. We'll have to see. The eis kol nefesh chaya haromeses. Furthermore, all of the living, these nefesh chaya, these living souls, which are creeping, asher shartu hamayim leminehem, which the water, again, is full or teeming with them, these different species. And the eis kol of, Kanaf, Luminehu, all sorts of winged birds, again, each one according to their species, their kind. V'yara Elokim Kitov. And God saw that it was good. Furthermore, interestingly, something we have not seen until now, V'yavarach Osam Elokim Lemor, and God blessed this creation. And this is the first time that after creating something, God then blessed His own creation. This is the first time. V'yavarach Osam Elokim, God blessed them, Lemor, saying, Peru, Uravu, you should multiply umiluas hamayim v'yamim, and you should fill up the waters and the seas. V'ha'ov yarev v'aretz, and the birds shall increase on the earth. V'yarev ahivoker yom chamishi. And this is the 5th day. So a number of things are going on. A number of things are new, not just because there's new creations, but there's new things going on. And there's even from a linguistic perspective, if we're sensitive to the language, I think we'll see a number of issues that are worth analyzing. Before we do any of that, though, Rav Hirsch has a very famous approach to the symmetry of Sheshes Yimei HaBreishis, to the 6 days of creation, which he actually makes. It's a comment that relates to all 6 days, but Rav Hirsch actually, in his Chumash, Perashan Chumash, he actually dafka makes it on the 5th day. So before we go and start analyzing some of the bits and pieces of day 5, if we're looking at it more of a big picture, let's see Rav Hirsch's insight. Rav Hirsch's basic insight is, as he says in the opening line, that the creations of the first 3 days are connected with those of the following 3 days. In other words, Rav Hirsch sees a parallel between day 1 and day 4, between day 2 and day 5, and between day 3 and day 6. What's the parallel? So he explains, it's beautiful. The light created on the first day, receives bearers on the fourth day, and thereby only then receives completely that position relative to the earth that was necessary for its action and the development of life on earth. And as what is, we discussed this exactly last week. Right? We discussed it more as a problem, but Rehearst sees it as a symmetry. On the one hand, on day one there was Vayihi Or. Right? We thought we had done that already. And then we come to day four, and there are the Ma'oros HaGadolim, those big, right, the sun and the moon. So it says Rehearst exactly, because there's two units of three. That general notion of light corresponds, obviously, specifically parallels into symmetry to what is then more specifically accomplished on day four. So then, let's think about it. What would be the relationship between day two and day five? Right, what did Hashem create on day two? Right, Vayavdel, the Rakia, the upper waters. So we're not exactly sure what that meant, but there's two things that seem to have been going on there. One was air, and one was water. So Cesar Persia is beautiful. Then, underlined, the water and airspace of the second day received its world of life on the fifth day. Again, so what's created on the fifth day? The birds and the fish, corresponding to the Avdel of the Rakia and the Mayim, Me'ala Rakia, Mitachas La Rakia of day two. And finally, what is between three and six, on the dry land created and adorned with vegetation on the third day, received its living inhabitants on the sixth day. So it's really a very, very beautiful symmetry. And again, what's most directly relevant to us tonight is the notion that this is, so to speak, we are filling in the rakia that was separated and formed on day two with the fish and the fowl. Okay? That's just as a, so to speak, an introduction. Now, the truth is, if we go back, and technically there's four psukim for day five, although obviously the last one of Yerav Avoker, we're not going to have too much to say about. But of the three psukim that really discuss the creative component of day five, there really is much to discuss. And the first issue really is very, very simple, which is what is the key word in the opening of Pasuk Chaf? The opening of Pasuk Chaf, the beginning of day five, again, we read it, you can look at it again. In the opening, it's a long pasuk, but what is, or not such a long pasuk even, what is the opening word which we're not, is actually used twice? Yishritzu, right? And how is it used twice? Right, there's Yishritzu, which is the verb. Sheret is the noun. The question is, what does it mean? We're going to get to that. Whether on day five was Bria Yesh Me'ayin or Yesh Me'yesh, we're going to see perhaps. Oh, good, good, good. Bernie, you're ahead of me. You're ahead of me. You're ahead of me, not the first time. We're going to get to that. What exactly is going on here is a subject of Machlokes Mefarshim. But right away, we want to know, again, it's the order is mine, but I think it's a logical order. The first thing we want to know about day five is, what is Sheretz and what is the Yishritz? I'm talking about fish and in the water, but that's because I'm making all sorts of assumptions. The terms that the pasuk uses are sheretz as the noun, and presumably it's the same word of yishritzu, the verb form. So let's start off looking at Rashi. Rashi tells us, pasuk, chaf, sheretz, everyone have it? What does Rashi say? Kol davar chai, any living thing, she'ena gavoha min ha'aretz, which is not, or does not stand high off the ground, karui sheretz. Says Rashi, sheretz is a catch-all phrase that refers to things which are swarming that are close to the ground. And his chiddush of says Rashi continues, is that applies even category by category, species by species. Furthermore, he says, so for example, ba'of, even within birds, there's a notion of sheretz. Why? Kagon, for example, zavuvim, flies, which I guess because they're so close to the ground, they're never high up, you're not going to have a fly 100, 200 feet up in the air necessarily, they're close to the ground, they're always stopping them, always landing, so to speak. That's the type of a sheretz, says Rashi. peshkatzim, among the crawling or slithering type of things, kegon nemalim, ants, v'chipushim, and beetles, v'tolaim, and worms. These are shrutzim because they crawl on the ground, they're close to the ground. Ubabrios, and among other types of creatures even, kegon, he says, choled is a weasel, and akvar is a type of a mouse, or something like that, v'chomet is a snail, v'chayotze behem, or anything similar to this, v'chol hadagim, and all fish, says Rashi, all fish, regardless of their size, because of their habitat in the water, they're all under the category of these small, swarming, creeping, crawling type things. That is Rashi's definition of the word sheretz. Okay, so Rashi says it doesn't matter. Rashi says it's a catch-all phrase. No, you would not necessarily have, but Rashi does. But we'll get slow. So this Rashi is very much attacked by the Ramban. If you look at the Ramban begins by quoting Rashi, and then he asks a question right after the three dots. Uma Yomar Harav. You know, it's one thing to say that about this pasuk, says the Ramban. But what is Rashi going to say about the pasuk? About the pasuk that comes up subsequently in Perek Tes, pasuk Zion, where the pasuk says, "Va'atem," right, this is focusing on humans, "Pru uravu shiratu ba'aretz uravu ba shenemar benoach ubanov." What is going on? How does that, the idea of creepy crawling things close to the ground, doesn't seem to be relevant to mankind? And yet here, the term shartzu is being used with regard to human beings. That's the Ramban's first question. He has a second question. Second pasuk. Second question. What about in our own pasuk? We're in pasuk of Aleph. Asher shartzu hamayim. What did the pasuk say? Wait, in chaf Aleph, asher shartzu hamayim leminehem. So we translate it as the waters were teeming with them. But how could the water be shartzu? According to Rashi, shartzu doesn't work. The common thread of both of these questions of the Ramban is, again, I'm not such a grammarian, but it's clear that the Ramban felt this was important, is that both of the questions of the Ramban, what are the two proof texts? He's using forms of the verb. In other words, Rashi actually only addressed the noun. He said sheretz is a creeping, crawling thing, low to the ground. And the Ramban is saying, but presumably, that has to carry through to the verb form. But in these two cases, it doesn't seem to make sense. If you use Rashi's definition of sheretz, it doesn't really conjugate into the verb. That is the essence of these two questions of the Ramban. Look at the Ramban, Seymour. What is the next thing the Ramban is going to say? Vedas unkelus? Huh? Oh, practice. Right, so the truth is that, even though that was a little disappointing to me, so the Ramban mentions that at the end, I didn't put it on your sheet. Okay, good. But let's see what the Ramban himself wants to do with Unkelus. Says the Ramban, Unkelus, we know Unkelus was the famous Aramaic translator, Unkelus Hager, he's a convert, and he had an Aramaic translation, a very authoritative Aramaic translation of the Chumash. So the Ramban says, V'das Unkelus, she'inyan shiritza, Kita'am tenua. What does shritza mean? It means tenua. What is tenua? Movement. Amar sheretz uberemes rechisha derachesh. That's what he says in our pasuk. What does that mean? Moving things that move. Rechisha derachesh, which would in Hebrew mean tenua. Movement. Says the Ramban, v'yafa pirish. He thinks that's a better explanation. How does that make more sense working back into the psukim? V'yikru'u shashratzim kain. Why do we call creepy crawling things shratzim? Ba'avor shetnu asam tmidis. Because it seems like they're always moving. Right? They're creeping crawling. They're always creeping crawling, creeping crawling, creeping crawling. V'yitachain, he says, perhaps, even etymologically, shuhu lashon morkav. It's a conjugated word, yikra sheretz. What does that mean, a sheretz? Quote unquote, shehu rots. It's always running, they're always moving. If you ever try to get one, you know. And they're always moving, they're always moving. Furthermore, he says it's a similar thing with the notion of a remes. So now, let's assume that he's correct, or he's going to try to illustrate this new definition. That doesn't mean it's something low or small to the ground. It means constantly moving. So he explains, how do you understand the psukim that he had already mentioned in the verb form? V'yatam v'sharchu ba'aretz u'faru v'ravu al ha'aretz. What does that mean? That the people post Noah are being told, shihiyu mishalchim b'kula, that they should be moving, they should be traveling throughout the whole world. V'yifru v'yirbu alaha. And then they should propagate and repopulate the world. Furthermore, the pasuk that he also quoted, "Sharzu ba'aretz v'ravu ba." What does that mean? He says, "Hisnoau b'kula v'tirbu ba." Again, he says it means to be moving around in all of it and populating it. And that's perhaps, he says, why tam hakefel v'ravu shnei pamim b'pasuk. Furthermore, he says, "Imkei nefarish." Now, getting back to the our pasuk of Aleph with the fish in the water, what does that mean? Asher shartsu hamayim, says the Ramban, asher heinio v'holicho hamayim. The water causes the fish to move back and forth. It's not talking about how they're being created necessarily. It means that the waters and the currents are causing the fish to be moving back and forth. So the Ramban suggests that really, based on Onkelos, that sheretz means something that's moving. And not necessarily would he be amenable to Rashi's extrapolation to all the other species, that it's a common thread of being low to the ground or something like that, which Rashi says. Says Ramban, no. Sheretz means moving. Creeping, crawling creatures are always moving, and the birds are moving, and the fish are moving, either by themselves or because of the water, that is always moving them. Any questions that I could answer? We didn't see that yet. Good. That's point number one for the shir. Number two. If you go back right in the beginning of Pasuk Chaf, I alluded to this as I was reading the opening and translating. We have an interesting phrase, a new phrase for us. Nefesh Chaya. The fish and the birds are being called a living soul. Well, the whole, it's referred to, yes, I think so. Well, it depends how you want to read the pasuk. Sheretz chaya v'of yofek. I don't. And in pasuk Chaf Aleph. Right. I think so. I think that's correct. So what is that trying to? What are we getting at? So the truth is, as you'll see, perhaps even more than most shurim, this is a Ramban heavy shir tonight. So let's look at another Ramban. What does the Ramban say? What is Nefesh Chaya, the second source on your sheet? Ki hadagim gufam v'nafsham min hamayim. Says something very interesting. Bidvar ha'elokim. Obviously, everything's been created by the Word of God. But here, apparently, the fish have some kind of a nefesh, they have some kind of a soul. And yet, that soul is created through the water, just like the body of the fish was created through the water. And this says the Ramban, as he says, excuse me, I stopped too soon, Shehevi lahem ruach min hayisodos, that apparently even the ruach, the spirit, or the soul of the fish, was created through the elements, in this case particularly through the water. Says the Ramban, this should be contrasted with when mankind is created. Lo ka'adam shehifrid gufo minafsho. After all, we know that first Adam is created from the dust of the earth. I mean, we know this because we know it, not because we've learned it yet together. Please, come on in. Kamosha Amar, and yet that we know subsequently, V'yitzar Hashem Elokim as Adam, Afram et Adama, V'yibach Ba'afav Nishmas Chayim. First, there is the creation of man's body from the ground, and only afterwards does God separately blow the spirit of life into man. So unlike mankind and Adam, who's created into separate acts, his body from some physicality, from the earth,
but the spirit coming directly from God. Here says Ramban, when God created the fish, even though there is some notion of a spirit or a soul, but it's created differently, and perhaps that even has further implications. But it's created differently. They're both created together from the yisodos, from the physical elements, namely from the water. Ah, you'll ask. This is a new phrase for us. So the question is, if it's a new phrase, so perhaps you'll say, you know, the earth, the sky, the water, so that's not referred to as a nefesh or a soul, that I think we can all understand. But there was something that was created on the previous day, on day 4. What was that? Vegetation. How come the vegetation does not refer to this way, says the Ramban? So he answers, last line, below hiskir bashlishi b'tzameach nefesh klal. He's not mentioning it all when it came to the vegetation. There's no mention of a soul. Ki ein koa hagidul nefesh. Because the fact that, on the one hand, the plant life grows, it does have a koa hagidul, it does have a capacity for growth, but don't confuse the two, says the Ramban. The capacity for growth and a soul are two different things. Rather, rak v'ba'ale hatnua, Ramban l'shita. So, bilvadhi. The sine qua non for something having some level of a soul is movement. Inanimate objects, even in this case he's referring to growth, smicha. So those, whatever you want to call them, but they, from the Ramban's philosophical perspective, those are one category, because even though they grow, they don't move. Things that can move are apparently considered philosophically on a higher level. That's the type of thing that can be referred to as a nefesh chaya. Now, we can all anticipate, and perhaps when we get there we'll learn it more explicitly, that once you have that level for the birds and the fish, so then presumably humanity will be on some even higher level. What we'll call that, what the categorization will be, we'll have to see. But the bottom line is, says the Ramban, we're already having a hierarchy of species and creation. Right? For those who are familiar with the philosophical terminology, both whether it be from Greek or Jewish sources, we have the tzomeach, right? You can have, which is the domain is like a rock, that's nothing. Then you can have tzomeach, which has, to use the Ramban's terminology, koach hagidul, it grows, it's not like a rock, it grows. But that's not the same thing as chaya, as something that moves like a fish or an animal. And apparently, that's what the Ramban says. That's why all of a sudden now on day 5, we have this new an introduction to this new phrase called nefesh chaya, because we're reaching a new level, and you mean this word very precisely, there's an evolution. We're reaching a higher level throughout creation. We're starting in the most basic. Plant life is above just the day before when God created the waters and the earth. And now you have the animals, the fish, and the birds, which are apparently on an even higher level than that. Says the Ramban, that is what, again, very profound. And the Ramban says that very profound idea is being hinted at by the fact that the Torah, Dafka, on day 5, starts using this word of nefesh chaya. I'll tell you why you can't use animate and inanimate, because then you can't distinguish between the vegetable or the bush and the rock.
No, the vegetables are animate, the rock are...
They're not animate.
The vegetable has life, I think.
Right, but it's not animate. I mean, that's not the way I would use the word. It has koach hagidul. It can grow. Okay, so that's why I said, Seymour, Enechanami, how are we going to, what categorization, would other Mepharshim use the same terminology as Ramban? That's a different question.
But that's like the lowest common denominator of soul.
Correct, right. The Ramban has a whole theory in Perek Beis when we discuss the creation of Adam. The Ramban himself has a very esoteric philosophical treatise there in Perek Beis where he talks about there's three types of souls. So you're coming at it from the perspective that other than the highest one, we shouldn't call it a soul. But the Ramban himself calls all of these different types of life forces, right, where animals are going to be another stage, and then human beings the highest stage, and then rabbi is the highest stage.
Because all of them have the same terminology.
Huh?
All of them.
Yeah,
what you just did, fish and birds.
Animals.
Animals, and man is also called the fish.
Right. So mankind has other things also. But the most basic thing, that's a very good point, Ethan, thank you. Everyone here, we'll see this in coming days. Ethan looked ahead. Or he just knows about heart because he's a Balkori. Either way, we're impressed. And appreciative. So it says in everything that's going to be created subsequently, again, this is just confirming what I was saying, but it's a good confirmation. It's all, we have this repeated phrase, because this is already, this is the phrase, and it works very beautifully for the Ramban. This phrase delineates a whole new, we're in a new category now. As much as we see this as one long process, but it's not just a quantitative difference. Not just new another day, new what are we going to create today. There's a major change that has taken place now from day 4 to day 5. And even though it'll be further refined in day 6, both when it comes to animals and then, of course, ultimately Adam, but still, there's a certain commonality that all three of those have as opposed to everything else. Says the Ramban, that is what's hinted at by the phrase, Nefesh Chaya. Okay? Let's move on to the next point. The birds. The birds. Not in the bees, just the birds. So the birds are a little bit tricky. Why are the birds tricky? So it was already pointed out that it's not clear about Nefesh Chaya, but I think the gist is there. But I'll tell you another thing that's tricky about the birds. What does the Pasuk tell us in Pasuk Chaf? Ha'of, va'of, excuse me, Yo'of Faith, where is the bird flying? Al Ha'aretz. And then before you have a chance to breathe, it's Al Pnei Ha'arei Yashamayim. Where is the bird? Is it on the ground or in the heaven? Where is he flying? Furthermore, we'll see, there's another pasuk. Where's that other pasuk? Perek Beis. Pasuk Yud Tes. Take a look. Beis Yud Tes. Again, I've alluded to this before, and we'll have to get to this. We know that the creation story happens in two parallel prakim. Why that is of course, a major question that has puzzled scholars for centuries. But there's a creation story in Perek Aleph, and there's a creation story in Perek Beis. So in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, what does the Torah tell us? Yitzar Hashem Elokim, key phrase, Min Ha'adama, God creates from the ground, Kol Chayas Asada, the Eis Kol Of Hashemayim. So there, again, you see the birds being tethered, if you will, tied down, back to the ground. And again, it's a side point, or it's an added point, but really the confusion perhaps already exists in our pasuk. Is it of faith al haaretz or al pnei rakia hashemayim? No, but they come from the ground. The focus there is the ground. So let's see. Again, the one who starts us off, although he's not the only one, but a good place to start for this once again is our third in a row. This is called a chazaka, or if you're from Canada, a hat trick. Or a trifecta. Where do you have to be for that? Pimlico. Okay. Baltimore, a trifecta. Or a chazaka. This is our third Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. Third source on the sheet. The Ramban, you'll see from the way he starts off, implicitly he's bothered by this question. From what, or if you will, where, is the bird created? Bayom hazeh hayamaymer habriya b'mayim. Says the Ramban, everything that's being created on day 5 is from the water. V'haya b'yom hashishi ba'aretz, right? With Adam and animals are created from the ground. So day 5 is from the water. Day 6 is from the ground, from the earth. Im kain, says the Ramban, perush. So how do we understand the following phrase? V'of yo'of faith al ha'aretz. That the idea of the bird will be flying al ha'aretz. What does that mean? It's nimshach. It has to be read as a continuation. Namely, yishritsu ha'mayim, it will be teeming in the water, sheretz nefesh chaya, v'of sheh. Now that's not in the pasuk. The Ramban adds, as he's paraphrasing what he thinks we should be translating these words, he adds the all-important conjugative letter, shin, sheh ye'ofeth. Namely, that will fly, but not that you should think that it was, again, it's flying over the earth, but not to think that it was created from the earth. Because says the Ramban, the birds, the fowl, like the fish, were created from water. Fish were created from water.
The pasuk we just took a look at in Perek Beis, pasuk Yutes. Essentially, that seems to be very striking in the other direction. It sounds like there's created from the ground. Says the Ramban, you're going to have to, it's a little forced, but you're going to have to reread it. How do you have to reread it? Ki'ivu Omar, you have to read it in Perek Beis as if it says, Yisr Hashem Elokim is kol chayas ha-sadeh min ha-adama, that God created all the animals of the field from the ground. Yisr es kol of ha-shamayim. And, with a, so to speak, a big pregnant pause, God also created birds, but not that they were created from the ground, even though you could have read the pasuk that way. And says the Ramban, don't get on my back, don't be critical of me that I'm forcing the reading of the pasuk. V'rabim kamohu. He says there are other examples, many examples even in Chumash, where we have to sort of reread a pasuk to make it make more sense. This is just an example. And furthermore, he gives, right, but you know, this is a general rule. This you should keep in mind whether you're learning Chumash, Gemara, or Halacha. And I assume that in a certain extent it would be parallel to other fields, whether it would be science or math also, which is, often, if I can make a point, and it's a very strong point, so what do? I just make the point. And it stands on its own. If I add, and I'll give you a proof. So maybe I'll get one proof that bolsters it. I'll tell you two proofs. All right, maybe that also now is even stronger. But if I'm giving you 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 proofs, to a certain extent, that actually reveals a greater weakness. Because you feel the need to bolster the point. So it's true, again, there's no rule that will be 100% accurate. But it's something very important to keep in mind in almost any area of learning that you're doing, and certainly in Torah, again, I'm sure there's parallels in other fields as well, which is sometimes, if you're looking at something, the more supportive texts or arguments that are being used, it's actually indicative. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong per se, but it's actually indicative of the fact that whoever's making those arguments feels a little bit more insecure about the argument, and therefore they're bolstering it with as many more things. So that's really what's going on, I think, I would suggest, in reading this Ramban. Because even though, to say that the birds were created out of the water, it's already a little bit weird. But okay, he starts off in a strong point, because it does seem like the thrust of day 5 is the water. So if the birds are mentioned there, and again, the psukim chaf and chafal seems to interchange back and forth between the birds and the fish, so maybe there's something to it. However, the real weakness of the Ramban is that it seems to force a reading of the pasuk, whether it's our pasuk, or especially the pasuk in Perek Beis. So first the Ramban says, listen, even though it's like the classic argument, and I can give you 10 other proofs. Rabim Kamohu, says the Ramban. There are other examples. So, you know, he's not listening to them. But he, that's number one. And number two is, says the Ramban, it's almost as if he's saying, you know, but I can't rest on my laurels just yet, even though I'm suggesting there's a way to read the pasuk, other examples. What's going to be the final trump card that the Ramban wants to bring out to bolster his somewhat vulnerable opinion? A rabbinic source. Not shot in the pasuk, but it'll give you a completely extraneous rabbinic source, which doesn't help his forced reading as a textual matter, but at least conceptually supports the notion. What is that rabbinic source? One of these kind of mysterious type midrashim known as the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe you've heard of it before. Chayin das Rabbi Eliezer agadol b'prokov. This is what's known as the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Reish Perek Tes. What does the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer say? How does it summarize creation on this day? Shamar, as it says, quote, B'chamishi, on the 5th day, Hishrit min hamayim kol of kanof. That God caused to move, Hishrit, caused to move, min hamayim, underlined and bold, kol of kanof, every flying bird. So it's explicit in this midrashic source that birds were created from the water. So the Ramban agrees with that. And he is a little bit forced to push that into the words of both our pasuk and the pasuk in Perek Beis. But as a principle per se, says the Ramban, he feels very strongly that that's where birds were created from. Now, it's true, however, says the Ramban, that there's another rabbinic source, even more authoritative than a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and that's called the Talmud. And in fact, where birds were created from, it's such a fascinating question, it's actually a debate in the Talmud. And the Ramban quotes it. It's a Gemara Masech Tachulin Daf Chav Zayin Amad Beis Nechlechu Bo. Yesh Omrim, one opinion, Cain, Shemin Hamayim Nivra'u, as the Ramban himself believes, as the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer agrees, the birds, were created from the water. However, there is a second fascinating opinion.
V'yesh omrim, a second opinion, sha'of mishnehem nivra. That birds were created from a combination of water and earth. Mishnehem nivra. What does that mean? Amru meha rakuk nivra. What is the rakuk? The rakuk is the seafloor. The mushy, alluvian type dirt, that's whatever all the fancy words are for it. The sea floor, the ocean floor. Which, in a sense, has a tremendous advantage if you take that shot. All of the ambiguity we're talking about is taken care of with one fell swoop. Why is it ambiguous? Because they're both true. And what is the example? What does that mean? It doesn't mean I took a little water from the Atlantic Ocean and I took a little earth from whoever. No. What is the one, where is, if you will, water meet ground? On the ocean sea floor. There you have ground, you have earth and water, mamish together. So says the Ramban, beautiful, says the Gemara, and he's explaining the Gemara, im kain, so what is it going on according to this second opinion? After all, if that's the case, after all, the sea floor, what is the sea floor? What is that rakuk? It is dirt. It is earth. So how come the birds aren't created on day 6? Why, according to this opinion, are they created on day 5? So he explains, Avorsha told us some Haisabamayim, because where is that earth? That dirt is not in the ocean, it's not in a mountain somewhere, it's not on the plains anywhere, it's not in the valley anywhere. That, true, it's earth, but it's earth, it's in the water. Told us some Haisabamayim, the origins of the bird, even according to this opinion, are in the water. Vaharakak, the karka hayamhu, this is earth that's in the water. And therefore, that's why, according to everybody, they can explain why birds are created on day 5. The question is, were they created from the water of the sea, or were they created from the sea floor, the earth in the sea? Which is a way of saying both, which is the way the opinion is first quoted. I guess, is that depend on the type of bird? Is that true for all birds? I don't know, I'm not a biologist by far. You want to tie that back to what rakia is, which we don't know. You just want to tie that back to the rakia, which we don't really know what that means. But you're saying it's the... Okay, but guess what? I don't know if this would be connected to what you're saying, Seymour, but if you remember from a few shiurim ago, we mentioned that according to some opinions in Chazal and Mefarshim, the rakia, when it was originally created, was opaque, such that whatever the source of light was couldn't get through. I think it was the Ramban, if I'm not mistaken, who had said that even though this was created on day 2, right, then day 3 it went dark. When the rakia was created, all of a sudden everything went dark. So this is supportive of based on what Seymour is saying. Speak up.
How do we know
that? I can hear you, but I want everyone to hear you, including your wife.
Birds were created from the mind of the rakia. Remember?
Where would it be? Well, why would you say that?
Because it's...
Birds fly in the air?
Yeah. In other words...
But is there any indication in the psukim that you would say that? Or you're speculating?
Speculating. Because it uses the word mind, so isn't it possible that it could be the mind above the rakia?
The problem is that... Except for the fact, I think, A, we don't know what it is, and B, it may have disappeared. When the waters were separated in Shamayim, what we call the sky.
Right.
It's hard to know. I mean, this is... I hate to come back to it, but there's so many mysteries here. We're scratching the surface. If you're right, and I can't know for sure that you're not right, but if you're right, it goes into the mysterious category.
Right.
So the advantage of these two pshatim are at least it makes more sense to us. Now, you think about there are birds being created from the water. It sounds a little funny, but apparently that's the case. Apparently in the world, you know, birds being created from something else will make more sense. I mean, it's all weird in a certain sense. It's fascinating. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, the truth is, I want to just see, there's two more mafarshim I want to quote. We'll break the monopoly of the Ramban on tonight's shir. Two more mafarshim that just suggest perhaps not necessarily debating, and again, the two opinions of where birds were created from, the water or this earth. So that's in the Talmud. So that no one's going to debate, that there is a debate. Everyone, you know, maybe, but in terms of the duality or the different nuances of the pasuk, where are the birds flying, in the, you know, from the earth or from the sky? So there are other explanations that are mentioned in Mefarshim. So if you look at the Rashbam, last source on the front side, Yofef al-Aretz, what does that mean? Says the Rashbam, the ultimate Pashtan,
Afa pishyitziraso min hamayim. So he agrees. They were created from the water. Gidulo yihye ba'aretz. For all future, they'll be sustained. Right? Where's the bird going to rest? And where's it going to sleep? And where's it going to eat from? The birds are eating and resting from the earth. And therefore, again, it's not meant to be confusing about where they were created from, which is the Ramban's issue. Says the Rashbam, no. Pashut, they were created from the water. Why is there these different contradictory indications? Says one is where they were created. Unlike the fish, who were created from the water and will then be forever sustained in a natural habitat of water, birds are created in water, but then will be sustained and have a habitat above the water. And finally, another suggestion quoted by the Netziv of Halashon in his commentary, Hamek Davar, to Chumash. We haven't seen so much Hamek Davar. If you would have asked me before this series started, if you would have done 8 Shurim, which is tonight's our 8th Shir, and I think this is our first Hamek Davar, if I'm not mistaken, I would never have believed it, because the Hamek Davar is such an awesome parish that I love so much, I would have imagined that we would have had more of them. So I promise you, as we go forward, we will. Because I think part of the reason is, because, not that he doesn't have comments, and with all the respect to the comment he has made on the first 20 Pesukim of Torah, but at least to me, and I think it's for others who know, the Hamek Davar's godless, a lot of it has to do with his psychological insight in terms of human relations and human personalities. So we're not up to that part of the Torah yet. Once we start getting into Adam and Chava, let alone the Avos Vimohos, so I have a feeling the Hamek Davar will be a regular. Huh? Well, he has famous introductions, right? Certainly in the shul, whether it's on Tisha B'Av or in Drusha, people have heard me quote the Hamek Davar before, but I believe he's making his inaugural Wednesday night visit tonight. So what does he say, the Hamek Davar? Shnei Mine Ofos. Why does it have a double language in our Pasuk? Because there's two types of birds. Yesh mehem shemo afafim al ha'aretz davka samachla. There are some birds who only stay on the ground. Yesh mehem magbihim of al pnei harakia hashemayim. There are other birds that fly up way high into the sky. Right. So again, so if you have an eagle or whatever else, you know, certain birds fly very high and others don't. So he suggests that's what's being referred to here in the different phraseology. Right, that's all true, right?
So, I mean, it begins to wonder.
Well, yeah, we haven't got the both stuff to get to the model.
Yeah.
My guess will be not until next year, though. At our current rate of progress. We're not all, yeah. Seymour, it's a Simon Bracha for all of us that we should be together next year. Okay? Seymour's worried about his health that he won't be here next year. Seymour, it's a schus. If you keep on coming to this year, I'll keep on davening for you. Okay. A few more things before we finish. We have still, what? There are discussions, again, it's a little bit beyond my expertise, but there are discussions that even I've seen from, Bible academics and professors have discussed, and certainly I've seen in academic journals where they discuss comparing and contrasting the famous thing of the flood story in ancient Near Eastern literature. What are the comparisons? What are the contrasts? What's the relevance of the comparisons and the contrasts? Which is, to me, the ultimate question, which I don't know an answer to. But it's not my thing. So I don't want to speak about it. I don't really know so much. Let's do a few more things if we can. We have, I think, a little bit more time. One of the things which is very interesting is there's a word here that's used for the first time since the opening of creation. What's that word? The opening of Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Gene, what did you say? Vayivra. The Lashon of Vayivra, right, that's like the golden word from Bereshis. This is the first time it's mentioned on day 5. It's not mentioned in any of the earlier days. God separated, He formed, He did this, He placed. But He was never Vayivra again since Bereshis Bara until now day 5. So of course it begs the question, what's so hoity-toity? Why all of a sudden today? Furthermore, if you'll remember from our opening Shurim, we pointed out that the Ramban very much believes that from an etymological perspective, Bara
means yesh me'ayin. That was what was unique about day one, according to the Ramban, was that super cosmic soup with all the creative potential was created on day one, and everything else is created yesh me'yesh. It's created forming from that original thing. So the truth is, we didn't see it then, but it's worth mentioning now, the Eben Ezra, who's, you know, also got a sharp knife, he doesn't mind mixing it up. You mentioned that the Ramban always argues on Rashi. Eben Ezra gets in there too. He doesn't want to let everyone else have fun. So the Eben Ezra, in the beginning of the Torah, on Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Eben Ezra in a one-liner, it's longer than this, but what's relevant for us is one line. The Eben Ezra is aware of the Ramban and others who have that theory of the word bara, and the Eben Ezra is not so convinced. And one of the Eben Ezra's strongest questions against the Ramban is from our Pasuk. The Eben Ezra looks all the way out to day 5. It says, one second, if the word bara is being referred to and used in day 5 about the birds and the fish, says there, that's not yesh me'ayin. They're being created from the water. That's creation from something else. What's called yesh me'yesh, not ex nihilo, from nothing. Look at the one-liner, the Eben Ezra. Rov ha'mefarshim amru shehabriya lahotzi yesh me'ayin, that the word bria means something from nothing. Hine shachu, but they forgot the pasuk of Vayivra Elokim at Tanninim. When the Torah here tells us that God created these big sea monsters, obviously it means from the water. How can you say that vara means?
We say that in our tefillah. Or Elokim shabra under the
chodesh. So you're raising a second point, Harry, which is that there is another pasuk later on which refers to the term bara about the creation of mankind. It's also a question. We're not created yesh me'ayin. We're created from the dust of the earth.
Yes,
so how is the Ramban going to defend himself? So let's take a look. The Ramban says the following. He's implicitly answering this question. Ba'avor godel ha'nivra'im ha'ela. Why is all of a sudden now, the first time in 5 days, is this term bara being used the second time? Because we're talking about something that was so massive, so big, these tananim, sheyesh mehem orcham, Parsaot Rabot. Their length was many parsas. A parsa is almost 3 miles. So apparently their length was many parsaot. So it's like a super duper giant. Furthermore, Higidu HaYavanim, I'm not sure where he's referring to, but he says the Greeks speak about the thing. This is a perfect segue from you, Seymour. We speak about other ancient texts. It says the Yavanim Visifrayim in Greek philosophy and literature, they say, Shiyadu Mehem Aruchim Chamesh Meos Parsa. That their length was over 100,000 miles. Sorry, over 1,000 miles, excuse me. Big enough. I don't need to exaggerate. Over 1,000 miles. I did say it, I'm sorry. Over 1,000 miles, according to the Greeks. And if you look at the Gemara Baba Basra, they also speak in great exaggerated terms about the size of these taninim. Avorzeh, says the Ramban, is because of this. Yicheth behem habriya Lelukim. We daft go out of our way to use the lashon of bria, which connects it very explicitly back to Hashem. Ki hu shimsiyam me'ayin mibereshis. That ultimately their source goes back, because, in other words, says Ramban, because they're so big and so awesome and so impressive, you might have thought that they were created yesh me'ayin on day 5. Kamash Malan, the Torah is going out of his way to tell you, no, even these super duper 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 taninim, however big they are, 1,000 miles long, even they were created, again, being formed from this hilui, whatever the Ramban called it, this cosmic soup, which again, part of it created the water, and then from that was creating even these super duper huge fish. Furthermore, in a similar vein, the Ramban asks, so to speak, on himself, Kasha Perashi Loshin Abriel Le'el Pasuk. So why is the term bara going to be used with regard to the creation of Adam? Also, because it's in deference not to his physical stature per se, but to his actual spiritual significance and stature. Also, again, you shouldn't think because mankind is so awesome and unique that somehow that required a new creative process, yesh me'ayin. No, says the Ramban, I got my theory and I'm sticking to it. The only creative act of yesh me'ayin of Nes Nihilo was on day 1. And even the two, if you will, most impressive things, these taninim, from a physical specimen, and mankind from its general stature and spiritual stature, even they were created as part of the original creation, again, formed in this evolutionary process which the Ramban sees creation taking place.
So he uses the word bara to specifically tell you that it's not
deified. It's bara, and it's what's the pasuk, vayivra Elohim. It's bara signifies how awesome it is, but it's Elohim tying it back to the fact you should think it was something independent, but it's part of the same old creation that God started 5 days earlier. A little forced.
This is a very
those who discuss, which perhaps we will when we finish all of this, issues of science and Jewish tradition, and do we believe in dinosaurs? How many millions of years is the world old? Not old. So obviously these taninim are very much relevant. I don't want to focus on that tonight, but no, your heart is no question.
There's no time element of billions of years because Adam hasn't been created.
Right. Right. Yes, 100%. This is yes. Taninim are a big one. The taninim are, no pun intended.
He's not saying here that the taninim and the yodim were from Yishmael.
No, he's going out of his way to say not.
They're not.
But there's each one in their own way have a special status that you might have thought they were. Kamashmon, they were not.
Why would you, it's a little stretch, because why would you think you thought they were? The Torah is meant to be very precise.
Okay, fair enough.
Why would somebody,
okay.
What would be a habanim?
Fair enough. Look at the if you look at the Sforno for a minute, what does the Sforno say on this? There is something that was created Yesh Me'ayin. This is an impressive Sforno. I think what he's saying is as follows: Shel hispika koach hamolid hamesudah b'mayim l'hamsiat taninim harishonim b'li zera ad shebar az koach maspik l'za. In other words, the physical creature of the taninim that was created from the water, Yesh Me'yesh. But the fact that these taninim in theory had reproductive abilities, that they could reproduce, so that may have been bara. That may have been yesh me'ayin. That element may have been new, yesh me'ayin on day 5. I think that's how the Sforno is suggesting. That would be a very fascinating machlokes between the Sforno and the Ramban. What? We haven't had any more creative yet. They're the first. You mean the fish and the birds? So maybe it gets back to the Ramban's still notion that because this is such an awesome, huge creature, maybe it needed some extra, you know, oomph. I'm not sure. I saw this Sforno. I think he's arguing in that point, so I thought it would be worth mentioning. Okay, two more things. We're almost mamish done. We only have 5 more minutes. Let's try to do it quickly. The Ramban, third source from the bottom, asked the following question. What phrase? We spoke about a phrase that's new in day 5, bara. There's a phrase that's absent for the first time. Vayihi chein. Never says, and God did this, vayihi chein, and it was so. Why not? So the Ramban gives two answers. The first answer I didn't put on your sheet, but the second answer the Ramban suggests is based on a chazal. It's from a Gemara in Bava Basra, and the basic chazal is also quoted by Rashi, although he doesn't apply it to this question, which is the following. I'm going to paraphrase outside. And that is that there was this famous Liv Yosson. I'm not sure exactly what that was, but this super-duper pre-anti-historical, metaphysical, mystical creature that were created at the time of creation, a male and a female. There was the two Liv Yossons. The Nekeva, Vaharag HaNekeva, the Nekeva was killed, Umolchala Tzadikim Lasad Lavo, and then it was somehow salted away and preserved, it's supposed to be super duper duper delicious meat of the Levyasan, and that's going to be saved for some futuristic Suda for Tzadikim. I don't know exactly what this means, but this is a famous Gemara, famous,
kiddish.
Huh?
Great kiddish.
Okay. Doesn't say anything about alcohol. Yeah, exactly, the biggest herring of all time. That's right. Kichel, you took the words out of my mouth, doctor. Says the Ramban, perhaps that's why Vayihi Chein isn't mentioned here. If you'll remember, we saw this a few shiurim ago. The Ramban says, what does Vayihi Chein mean? that it's not just that Hashem created X on day Y, it's that He created X on day Y, and that's how it's going to be for history. There's now fixed natural law. This is how the sky is going to be. This is how the earth is going to be. How the water is going to be. Vayichain. It's not just that moment in time. It's going to always be. Says the Ramban, this Livyoson is not always being. It was there for a moment, and then it was stored away forever. So since it's not always there, perhaps that's why Vayichain is mentioned. I'm not sure. I don't have time, Seymour. Let me just, I want to finish. I have two more minutes. Last issue, which is the following. I alluded to this as I was reading the Pesukim. For the first time ever, again, there's a lot of firsts here in day five. It's an important day. Vayivarach Osam. Right? For the first time, God blesses His creation. I don't think that happened before. Pasuk HaBeis. Vayivarach Osam. Elokim, Lamor, and then the Pru Revu, to the fish, the birds. Why Dafka Vayivarach Osam on day five and not earlier? I'm not sure what the Sforno means. But look what he says. Ki lo yusag hatachlis behem zulosi bihiyosim rabim. Somehow, whatever they're trying to fulfill, whatever the essence and the mission that God had in mind for the fish, they can't accomplish it in small numbers. They need to be blessed to multiply, because or else they wouldn't be able to have serve their purpose. I'm not sure what the purpose is. He doesn't say what the purpose is. So herring and lox, and I'm not even a fish person, actually. So I don't know. Sushi. Along those lines, in terms of a basic difference, so that's the last thing for tonight. We started off with the Ramban, and we'll finish with the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? Why? First of all, the Ramban says, well, if you look later in Vayikra, other things were given a certain blessing or told to Revu, but Dafka, not earlier. He wants to know two things. Number one, how come, even if you want to leave that inanimate, but there's growth to the herbage, to the vegetables, to the bushes, how come there it's not Vayivarach Osam? Plus, when we get to day six, the animals aren't told by Yivarach Osam. Why only here on day five? So says the Ramban, "Tefisha hanivroim b'chol ba'ali nefesh hayushnayim bilvad zachu nukev lumineim k'inyan ba'adam." The fish, I guess the birds also, but he's definitely not with the fish. Originally, when God created the fish, there was only two, a male and a female. Just like when He created mankind, there was only two, a male and a female. Therefore, v'hutzuchu lebracha shir b'mo. Therefore, they want to get anything accomplished. They got to procreate. They need a bracha that they should have. They should conceive. Avol b'tzmachim, when it came to the foliage, to the grass and the trees and the bushes, some call pnei kol adam a rabim od kasher heim hayom. When God created them in the previous day three, God created a whole world of bushes and trees and flowers, and so therefore they didn't need a bracha to multiply. They were already multiplied. And what about the animals? How come v'lo amr v'behemos v'chayos bracha? How come the animals don't get a bracha? Shabizos ha'gzeru shagozer b'vali ha'nefesh ha'tenua shabamayim ha'ribuay nisrava v'vali ha'nefesh ha'tenua shab'aretz. Says the Ramban, taka, they did get a bracha. So saying, they got a bracha. This relates to Seymour's point. Exactly what the second thing the Ramban says is what Seymour said. Namely, there's an essential commonality between the birds, the fish, and the animals, and that is they are animate organisms. Therefore, this is the first one, so they got a bracha. The mail of the bracha will continue to the next creatures of the next day of the animals. Okay, everyone enjoy your vacation next week. No homework. And Mirza Shem will pick up Pasuk Chav Gimel in 2 weeks. Right, why? What's the connection? Also, just like something that's very good. Good. Very good.
Two fascinating things. One is, I think I have charata and something that he made. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We saw that as, I forget which day it was, one of our earlier shurim. It was God wanted to see, what is it? It said he started off doing the or, then he saw it was great.
Right.
So Eben Ezra or somebody says, you sound like you're saying that God changed his mind.
Right, I mean, philosophically.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And the other thing is, just take a look in that Medrash, who lived a ton of years ago. I think that if you look at the Talmud.
Which Medrash?
That one of them.